Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the last sentence in the verse. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Our Father, we are truly grateful for another privilege to pray. We're glad, Lord, for the love of God. You shed abroad in the heart with the Holy Ghost, which has given us. Help us to love you more, Lord. I pray tonight you'd have your way in the service. Give us unction and power and grace and boldness to preach tonight, Lord, that we need. I pray that you'd open our hearts and minds, understanding to the truth. Give glory and honor to yourself, Lord. Edify and build up the saints of God. Revive us again, Lord, that thy people may rejoice in thee. I pray for those that's here tonight, might not be walking in the light. They be cold in their fellowship with thee. I pray your will be done. Warm our hearts, Lord. Help us to draw nigh to you. We know you're drawn nigh to us. Convict and save sinners for thy glory. We humbly pray in Jesus' blessed name of thanksgiving. Amen. I'm trying to preach tonight on the kind of Christians God wants us to be. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And of course, first of all, the Lord wants you to be a Christian. You have to be a Christian to be a Christian. Some folks say that you need to act like Christians. That's no, you don't need to act. You need to be one. If you be a Christian, you don't have to act like it. You just be a Christian. First, we should not be. Let me talk about what should not be. We should not be carnal Christians. Paul told the Corinthian church in chapter 3, he could not speak to them spiritual, but as carnal, as babes in Christ. So God don't want us to be carnal Christians. I think there is some. God don't want us to be cold Christians. Why be cold when the fire's already built? You ought to get right up close to the fire and enjoy the warmness of God. And God don't want us to be comfortable Christians. That is, lukewarm. He don't want us to be in a comfortable state. I think I see a lot of Christians now, they're just comfortable, just got it in cruise control. And, you know, I appreciate the cruise control on the cars, but it's very dangerous. You'll go to sleep quicker with the cruise control on than you will any other time. A lot of folks in the church, they got it in cruise control, and they doze and off. Somebody was sleeping on Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 14. He said, "Awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." If somebody hadn't been asleep, he wouldn't have said, "Wake up." And so a lot of folks, revival is to wake Christians up, stir us up inside. We might get warmed up and get out of our comfortable zone. God does not want us to be lazy Christians. A lot of lazy Christians. They're going to do better some of the time, but not right now. Folks are busy talking on a cell phone and watching TV and going to ball games and just lazy about the things of God. He don't want us to be slothful. He wants us to get into it. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Is that what it said? Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Not slothful in the Lord's business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In other words, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to sing, do your best. You're going to pray, do your best. You're going to preach, whatever you're going to do, do the best. Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And God don't want us to be lacking Christians. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, us that have faith, and add to your faith. Give all diligence, add to your faith. Virtue. And the virtue of knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. If these things be in you abound, then make it that you need to be bearing unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man lack these things, he's blind and cannot see afar off, and forgotten he was purged from his old sins. In other words, he fails to add to his faith. Now, faith is a gift of God. And God gives us faith, and when the Lord gives you faith, and get justified in faith, then he wants you to add to your faith. You add. You give this to add to your faith. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, and so on. If any man lack these things, you don't have these things, he's blind and cannot see afar off. And forgotten he was purged from his old sin. He forgot where the Lord brought him from. May God help us to add these things to us. And the next verse said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. One good Calvinist brother said, you know, you don't have anything to do with election. I said, you do in that verse. If you don't have anything to do with it, how could you make it sure? He said, be careful to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. In other words, your calling comes first. Be sure that you've been called by His grace. Called by His power. Called by His Spirit. You've come to Him. When you got called, you come to Him. You got converted. Gifts make your calling and election sure. Election is a position in Christ. No such thing as an elect sinner. He does preach to all sinners. Election is a positional doctrine and a security doctrine for the saved folks. If you're saved, you're one of God's elect. So don't be afraid of the verse, and don't be afraid of the word, just because some religious nut got hold of it and went off the ditch and got stuck up. First Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. How do you know it? The next verse said, for our gospel came not in the word only, but in power and the Holy Ghost, much assurance. In other words, if you've had an encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ in power, it's become the power of God unto salvation to you. You got saved by the grace of God, then you know you're one of God's elect. And you also know that you're predestinated. And predestination has to do with destination. That is, the destination's been settled and you know where you're going now. I say, praise God. Yes. Now, a lot of folks say, well, you believe in predestination. I said, sure. Predestination has to do with destination. In other words, the cross is predestinated to Jesus Christ. He's predestinated to go to the cross. He come down here to go to the cross and die. When you got saved, you're predestinated to go to heaven. Your destination's been settled. You ought to shout a little bit, oh man. We're not here for long, praise God. We're going to be heading out of here pretty quick. And I'm glad the destination's already settled. God Almighty predestinates to be conformed to the image of His Son. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so I appreciate the Lord and His goodness. Now, God wants us to be loving Christians. We love Him because He first loved us. All love in our heart for Him, He put it in there. He shed the love of God abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit that was given unto us. And so we love the Savior. Do you love the Savior? Well, you don't love the Savior if you're hopping up and around with all the papers of the devil. If you love the Savior, that means you're living for Him. You like to come to His house. Some folks claim they're going to heaven, they want Him to go to church. Well, if your religion won't take you to a meeting house, don't expect it to take you to heaven when you die. I think if you love the Savior, then you'll love the saints. We know it passed nothing up because we love the brethren. What would my wife think about me if I just went home once every 3 months? See, when I first got saved, they turned me out of the church if you didn't come to church every 3 months. You missed 3 regular meetings. I didn't believe in that much. I was a new Christian. I didn't think they ought to do that. But when I got married, I got to think, what did I think about my wife if she just come home once every 3 months? May God help us to love the Savior. Do you love the Savior? Listen, love will cause you to do something nothing else will cause you to do. And you love the saints? If you love the saints, you'd like to be around fellowship. I know of some so-called Christians, they'd rather be at a ball game than be at church. One fellow said, my people won't come on Friday night. Said they have ball games, you know. I said they won't come to church. I said they'd rather go to the ball game than go to church. Don't you think so? A lot of people had. Anybody notice that little breeze coming through there? You know, I've been saying for a good long while now, if it's not baseball, it's basketball. Not basketball, it's softball. Not softball, it's football. Not football, it's soccer ball. And tennis ball. And golf balls. And goof balls. Running in after it. Nowadays in America, you can pitch a ball off the middle of hell. A lot of people jump in after it. They'll go to church and go to a ball stadium and pay $50 to get in, sit on a cold concrete or a steel bleacher, wrap up the overcoat, and pay $50 to watch a bunch of boys run back and zip to a apartment down at Green Grace Field and think they got a bargain. And if a preacher gets up and preaches on tithing, they say he's just out for money. Help us, Lord. Is that about the way it goes? Do you love the Scriptures? Well, love the Savior, love the saints, love the Scriptures. I rejoice at Thy word as one that finds grace more. You know, you're saved because of the Bible. You know, if you didn't have the Word of God, you wouldn't know you even need to get saved. Thank God for the Scriptures. I'm glad the old timers used to preach hellfire and brimstone and forget lightly. I never forget when I was lost. I'd go out there, and they just preached like I was lost, and that's all it was to it. Looked like I was going to go to hell, in spite of all everybody do. And I didn't have much hope. I tell you, I didn't have no hope. They hung me out over hell. Looks like the wrath of God's going to come down on me. I got real lost. You know what's the matter with most people? They never have been really lost. They just got misplaced. They went down in front of a church house and shook a 6-foot spiritual icicle's hand and said yes to some questions and thanked God saved. Listen, if you get saved, God will give you a new man on the inside, and the power of God will be on the inside of you and cause you to love the Savior and love the Scriptures and love the saints of God. Amen. For more than 58 years, I've enjoyed going to church. Every time I can get there, my worst service in the church house is better than my best dance in the dance hall. Amen. Praise God. You enjoy how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment that's poured on Aaron's head, run down on his beard, right on down the skirts of his garment. I say, praise God. When you get where the Spirit of God is, and He's a stirring inside, if you're cold, it'll make you want to get warmed up. It does me, don't you? You love the service of the Lord? I love the service of the Lord, don't you? Yes, I can't do much, but I can try to do a little bit. Do my little part. Praise God. Do what God wants you to do. And if you'll do that, God will bless you. And then, Lord, love sinners. You love sinners, them that's not saved. Oh, you got a burden, compassion on them that's perishing without God. You know, one thing I got against our court system now, they throw the men back in the cell and forget about them. All they're out after money. They could care less what happened to them. And nowadays, I've got a preacher friend that's a jailhouse preacher. Been going to jail ever since been preaching. And now they've turned him out of jail because he wants to preach the King James Bible and preach against sodomy. And this bunch of pervert all the way from the White House down to the courthouse has ruined this country. I know some preachers that got saved in jail, some that got saved in the penitentiary. One I'm thinking of, I preach for every year. He got saved in the penitentiary. They couldn't keep him off of drugs, couldn't keep him off of alcohol. He'd break in stores and steal cars. When he got saved, praise God, he come out there preaching. He's been at it ever since. One of the best preachers you ever heard. Don't tell me it don't work. I know it does work. You can't dry him out, but God can dry him out. Hallelujah. God can fix it. Oh, listen, we'll be loving Christians. We'll be lively Christians. Nothing's more boring than dead church services. You ever been in a service where the singing is dead, praying is dead, preaching is dead, everything's dead? I've been saying if the church had been as dead when I got saved as they are now, I wouldn't have went back a second time. Only reason I went back, there's a shouting hallelujah and a preaching the word of God, loving one another, having good time in the Lord. They got happy in the Lord. We need to get happy. Don't be ashamed to get happy. It's okay to praise God. If a praise bubbles up in your spirit, you'll just praise God anyhow. Amen. Knock some of the starch out. Amen. Yo, I've been in churches where it's starchy, you know. It's the cold and it's terrible. We'll be lively Christian. Is it 1 Peter 2 and verse 5? You're lively stones. Built up a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing now. It's offering up a spiritual sacrifice. Them ladies is offering a spiritual sacrifice. And that singing a while ago, they weren't singing to entertain the flesh. I've been in places where they all had to have a pseudolac and had to have all this new kind of stuff. I like the old way. I'm not going to change from the old way. Give me them old hymns about the Savior, praise God. Them old time songs, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you go to singing to God, the Holy Spirit inside, He'll ring my bell. Praise God. Want to be lively Christians. Don't you? God wants you to be lively Christians. We've been made alive in Christ Jesus. Is it there in 1 Peter chapter 2, I think? Is it laying apart all malice and envy and guile and hypocrisies? He was speaking all this stuff. And newborn babies desire the sense here, make the word, you may grow thereby. That is, you ought to be a learning Christian. One reason to go to church is to learn more about Him. Learn from the Scriptures. I like good teaching services, good preaching services. Some people already know so much you can't even get them to go to Sunday school now. Y'all got any of them around here? I bet y'all ain't got none. Oh, may God help us to try to study the Scriptures. One fellow said, well, I can't understand the Bible. I said, you can't understand any book you don't read. Turn your TV off. Look and see what the Bible says. It's got a message for us. We ought to be learning Christians. Romans 15:4, the things written aforetime were written for our learning. That we through patience and come to the Scriptures might have hope. Paul told Timothy, he said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. Yes. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that's in Jesus Christ. You know what our young generation today, thank God for all these young people that's in here, young kids, I appreciate every one of them. I go places, I was in a meeting a while back, and I told adults, I said, look around. There ain't no young people here. You know what that tells me? They haven't been teaching the young people. They ought to teach them that's known the scriptures from a child. They're able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that's in Jesus Christ. For all scriptures give them inspiration of God, proper for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, license, and so on. So look here. We ought to be learning Christians. I want to learn more about him. I don't know much, but I don't know what I know. It's what I don't know. For if I knew what I don't know and didn't know what I know, what I don't know wouldn't help me any. So I'd rather know what I know. I don't know much, but I'd rather know what I know is what I don't know. Because there's some folks ever learning, never ever come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, they can tell you a lot of things. Did I tell you? I was down here at Brother Pidge Hackney's store one time, down at Lake City, and a fellow excited. Pidge told me, said, this fellow coming in, said, he's a scientist. And boy, he knew a lot. He talked words I couldn't even understand. Chromosomes, and I don't know what all kinds of stuff he's talking about. When he got down, I said, are you a Christian? He didn't know what I was talking about. So I told Pidge, I said, look here, he knows a lot I don't know, but I know something he don't know. I don't know what I know, it's what he knows. I wish I had more knowledge than I've got. I wish I knew more than you. But look here, listen, I don't have to know anything much about the world to know it's bad out there. And I know it's getting worse every day. You better run for safety while the door's open. The wrath of God's a coming, hell's a popping. God's a getting angry with sin. While the saints are gathered together, and while the gospel is being preached, while the hymns are being sung, that's the time to get in. You say, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Well, you need to be sure before you leave here tonight that you're saved, because you may die before morning. If I didn't know I was saved, I'd stay here till I knew I was saved. Wouldn't you? They won't rush you through here. You won't have to get up in 3 minutes here. Nowadays, some churches, you know, if you get them up in 3 minutes, they don't know what to do with them. I was preaching down here in Kingsport 3 or 4 weeks ago. This old boy, about 35 years old, he got all broke up and finally come down and got on his knees and went to praying. And he just kept on praying. They couldn't get him to stop praying. I said, praise God. For one, they can't stop from praying. Amen. And he just kept on praying. Of course, the Lord, I think, done showed me. He said, he's broke up. He's going to get right. May take him a while. So I went ahead over in the prophet's chamber and changed my clothes. Come back, and they're still there. They dismissed the service. Most of them had drifted out. They're still there. And I told the pastor, I said, I got about 4 hour drive to go, and I want you to call me when he gets saved. I said, I'm going to go because I believe he's going to get saved. I got away down there about Knoxville, right about 2 hours later. He said, hey, preacher, that fella got saved a while ago. Amen. And you know what? He called me the next day, and a woman got saved after church that night at home. And he called me Sunday night, and somebody got saved on Sunday night. Listen, God's in the saving business if you want to get saved. But he ain't playing none of your games. He ain't going to play none of your games. You get out of the business with God, you're tired of being a sinner. You're tired of being a child of wrath. Tired of the wrath of God being upon you. You're tired of that? If you're tired of that, come to him. He'll lift your burden. He died for you. He'll save you. If he saved me, he'll save you. But now, I don't know. It may take you a while. It took that old boy a good long while. See, now I'm guessing about this. He probably made one of them childhood professions. Probably made one of them easy professions back then. And somebody probably told him when he was 5 or 6 years old, all you got to do is answer these questions. And I guess that's what he's wrestling with, because he prayed 2 or 3 hours. Somebody said, was you worried he wasn't going to get... I said, no, I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried, because he meant business with God. Amen. You can tell when a fellow means business with God. Yeah. You know the people God will bless, him that gets hold of truth and goes crazy with it. Yeah. That's what Paul done. They said, much learning's made you mad. That means you've gone insane over the truth. It's pretty bad when you don't know where it's a he or a she. Sometimes I go to have to me and wife go to Walmart sometimes, and I'll say, is that a man or a woman? She says, I don't know. You know, I got tattoos all over them, got on a men's ball cap and a jump jacket, you know, and cowboy boots and tattoos all over them. Don't know where it's a he or a she or what either it is. You know, it's a perverted mess now, ain't it? Oh, I'm saying you better get out of the crowd you're in. You better get out of the crowd you're in now. Ought to be lively Christians, loving Christians, and learning Christians, and laboring Christians. We're credited in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, works wouldn't save you, but as sure as you get saved, you'll have some works to follow. Won't always have to be hammering on you, because we're credited in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Paul said to Titus in 3:8, this the faithful saying, these things I will die from constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. For these things are good and profitable unto men, or to be laboring Christians. We're laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. of the foundation of no man laid that which already laid. So we're laboring in the work of God. May God help us to be laboring Christians. In Christ Jesus, no more circumcision or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh the love. If you've got real faith, you've got some work to follow. You'll have some fruit, some work. Maybe not a hundredfold, maybe not sixfold, but there'll be some evidence, if you're saved, that something's going on inside in a spiritual way. There'll be some evidence there. You'll have fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, manifestors of these. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and acceptance. Did you notice the word fun wasn't in that? You ever hear anybody now say, oh, it's fun being saved. Fun's a worldly word. Fun's what you have in the game when the game's over, the fun's over, especially if you lose. It's joy being saved. You got joy at church, joy in the singing, joy in the preaching. When you leave, you take joy with you. You can have unspeakable joy if you love Him whom you can't see. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. God wants you to be a happy Christian. He wants you to enjoy the things of God. But if we knew how close to this thing closing up is, we knew how close we are to this bunch of atheists taking our Bibles and closing our churches, we'd enjoy every minute we have together. I think we better do that. Don't you think so? Oh, we ought to be laboring Christians. Christ said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your soul. Take my yoke. Walk in the yoke. Get yoked up with Jesus Christ. It's a work of faith and labor of love. We're doing what we do for the glory of God. Labors together. When we labor together like that, brother, it'll cause you to grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I say praise God. Paul called it a work of faith, 1 Thessalonians 1:3, and a labor of love. Work of faith. Well, you can't have a work of faith if you don't have any faith. You got faith down inside, it'll be a working faith. Know this, obey man, that faith without works is dead, being alone. Some folks, they say they have faith, but they don't have any works to manifest it. Works don't save you, but you can't get saved and not have any. It's kind of like a conscience. A conscience wouldn't save you. But if he ever dies, he can't get saved. Do you think a lot of people see a conscience is the ability to know? Adam and Eve had a conscience before the sin, but it wasn't awakened. As soon as the Lord gave a command, gave a law, Lucifer come and told Eve that God's word is not exactly true. That sin's not as bad as God said it was. Showed her the tree of knowledge of good and evil, good for food, had for lie, tree desire to make one wise. She believed the devil's lie and eat of that tree. And then she gave to her husband, and he ate the fruit. You know what happened then? Then they knew they were naked. Their conscience was awakened. So they could hear the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Their conscience wasn't dead. It was awakened, but they could hear the voice of God calling. You know what's the matter with our folks now from Washington all the way down? When they say same-sex marriage is okay, sodomy is okay, shacking up's okay, all this, that tells you their conscience is dead. They don't know the difference. When your conscience dies, you don't know the difference in good and evil. I'm letting that soak in a little. Because you hear a lot of people going around, they say, as long as there's breath, there's hope. The only thing wrong with that, it's not so. There's a breathing over 100 years in Noah's day, and there wasn't no hope for them. When God pronounced the penalty on them in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, there was no hope for anybody but Noah's family after that. Every thought of the imagination of men's heart was evil continually. Now, I know that's not popular preaching, but I'm not preaching to be popular. Jesus says it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days to come of the Son of Man. In other words, the Spirit of God was grieved away in Noah's day, and it's grieved away in our day, generally speaking. You know, I'm not going to preach on the conscience, but, you know, some folks have a dead conscience. We're supposed to have a cleansed conscience. Having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, your body's cleansed with pure water. Then there's some people that have a subconscious. We all have a subconscious. Sub means below, like submarine. So the devil has access to your subconscious mind. The devil can come in to you, and he can pull some of your sin, though they've been forgiven, out of your subconscious mind and accuse you with them. He can accuse you in your subconscious mind. You have to resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren in the world. All of us have a problem with that, don't we? With our past life? Though it's been forgiven, God's washed it all away with the blood of Christ. Yes, there's a subconscious mind where you can still remember all that stuff. The devil knows what you remember. Don't you think so? I think so. So you have to guard your conscience. Then I'm glad they knock us unconscious. If you ever get hurt as bad as I did, you'd be glad they got something knocked you unconscious with. When you're unconscious, you don't know what's going on. See, that's what some of these cults believe when you die. They think you become unconscious. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that. Some of the Adventists believe that, that you just go unconscious. That's not so. The Bible don't say it. You're going to be much alive then as you are now, and you still have a conscience after you die. I'm glad we have a conscience, and I'm glad we can guard our conscience, and I'm glad we can have a cleansed conscience and cleanse our bodies in pure water. This is the pure water of the Word of God. Amen. Well, to take a bath in this Word of God, walk in the Word of God. You can be clean inside and outside. Cleanse yourself from all fitness of flesh and spirit. Protect the holiness and the fear of God. That's outside cleansing. And He told us to cleanse ourselves. So it'll be laboring, Christians. You can't labor in God's work if you don't confess your sins every day. You say, well, I don't have any sins. Well, you probably got more sins than all the rest of us in here, since you think you don't have any. Because the Bible said, if a man says he has no sins, he deceives himself, truth's not in him. And you're deceiving yourself, you think there's nothing wrong with you. I think there's more wrong with anybody that thinks there's anything wrong with him than there is anybody else. You know, poor old Christians, then they say, well, I'm trying, but I got a lot wrong with me. They're trying to live perfect. The more perfect they get, the more imperfect they see they are. The more confess their sin, the more sin they got to confess. You know, it kind of amazes me. Some Christians, they say they're Christians, they don't ever have anything to confess. They haven't made a trip to the Mormon's banks in 25 years. Yes, they don't like everything. Well, I'm not talking about publicly necessarily, but you ought to go to the Mormon's banks at home or to confess our sin. How could you live in a world as messed up as this is and not have some sin to confess every day? Every day? I think it's a sin to even look at what's on television now, let alone listen to it. You know, you'd think it's a burlesque show. They'd do everything. One fellow said, don't bother me. I said, well, it wouldn't bother me if I didn't turn it on. I say, bother me. Oh, that's what's the matter with the church now, these years. It killed the church. All them wicked, vile, nudity scenes. Look what it's done to the church in the last 50 years. May God help us. May God help us to set our affection on things above and on things of earth. Realize you're dead and your life's here with Christ in God. I say, praise His name. Am I preaching too hard to suit somebody? I'm not preaching too hard to suit you. Well, be looking, Christians. First of all, well, look to yourselves. That you lose not those things that are brought, but that you receive a full reward. In other words, look at yourself. See how you're doing. Look to yourself. Examine yourself. Don't lose those things that you brought, but that you receive a full reward. And that verse teaches there's rewards coming. And that verse teaches you, if you don't look to yourself, you might lose rewards. Rewards are for the millennial kingdom. Yeah. One good all-millennial said, well, I don't believe in that. You don't have to believe in it for it to be so. Yeah. It was so before you ever got here. The Bible promises a millennial kingdom, and that means it's coming. Yeah. Christ is born King of the Jews. Right. That's a lot I don't know about it, but I just know Christ is going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. One fellow said, I don't believe he'll ever come down here and set foot on this old earth again. I said, what do you got against Jesus taking over his earth? It belongs to him. He's going to rule it too with a rod of iron. That means he's going to have to make some folks behave. You believe there's coming a worldwide ruler? Jesus Christ himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You believe we're going to rule and reign with him here? And you look to yourself that you lose not those things you've brought, but that you receive a full reward. It's bad to wreck just before you get there. A lot of folks lose their rewards. They won't lose their soul, but they lose rewards. And I don't know much about rewards because I never did think I'd get any much. But I tell you, we ought to try to build gold, silver, and precious stone upon the foundation so our works won't be burned at the judgment seat. Because there's going to be some works burned, and the judge said, Christian works going to be burned. They built the wrong kind of material on the foundation. They're going to be saved yet as by fire, but the work's going to be burned. That's why we ought to be careful how we build. Let every man take heed how he builds on the foundation. What kind of material you put on the foundation? We're building. We're builders. Is that right? Help us, Lord. Lord, look on the fields. After you look to yourself, look on the fields. They're wild already to harvest, and labors are few. Pray the Lord to harvest and send labors to his vineyard. Have you looked on the fields lately? Almost everybody you meet today is not saved. Almost everybody you see is not saved. We're not much bold in our witness these days. And I know I don't be buttonholing everybody you come to and hindering people. I'm not talking about that. But we ought to have a burden to speak to those that's perishing without God every once in a while. Talk to them about the Lord. Is that right? Tell them Jesus is coming. If he don't come, they're going to die pretty quick. If you're not ready to die, you can't enjoy living. The only people that enjoy living is them ready to die. That way it don't matter if you live or die. You can't lose for winning. Amen. Is that right? Look on the fields. The fields are white. Say not 4 months and then cometh harvest. Don't say wait till another day. Talk about the Lord at Walmart and they'll let you out first. You ever try it? Try it sometime. Go talk about the Lord, preach a little bit at Walmart. Now, if you was talking about all that other stuff, everybody pricked their ears up. Go talk about the Lord in the marketplace like Paul did. See, we're some nice Christians now. We don't even think we're supposed to talk about the Lord nor besides at the church house. I've heard people say, well, they got church houses to preach in. Paul didn't have no church house, no pulpit to preach in. That's why he got in trouble. He preached at the marketplace, wherever there's given over to idolatry. The Spirit of God just stir up in him. He'd go to preaching. Of course, they'd put him in jail. I was up here in Ohio one time, a little old church, and some folks come over to visit from Indiana, and they hunted for 2 hours. The church is all the way over, and they couldn't find the building. They finally called me, and they went to the police station. And the police said, I never heard of that church. And I said, somebody go get in jail so they'll know where the church house is. You know, it's bad to have a church pretty close to the jail and the jail don't even know where it's at. You'd be surprised the churches we got around and people don't even know where they are. Why would it be so much trouble? At least they'll know where we're meeting at. Bother them a little bit. Don't you think so? Quit being nice and be Christians. Did you look in the Bible? Them people, they wasn't real nice folks. They were loving folks. And dedicated folks, listen here, they're preaching Acts chapter 8, verse 4. They were scattered abroad whenever we're preaching the word. In that sense, men and women and kids all was preachers. There wasn't public preachers, there wasn't pastors, there wasn't traveling evangelists, but there's all witnesses telling others about the Lord. You care if I tell one more experience? I never will forget this. This preacher told it, and I think he told the truth because he's a good man. And down in Georgia, this lady, she had some kind of accident, and all she could move was just her head. She couldn't move no other part of her body. Her mother would prop the phone up to her ear, and she would call somebody. She'd witness to them about the Lord. Won a lot of people to the Lord, talking to them, witnessing to them about the Lord. And the preacher went to see her, and she wanted to come back that afternoon, Sunday afternoon, at 2 o'clock, and have a prayer meeting there. They used to have cottage prayer meetings. He said, I went back and said, no place to park. Everybody's parked down the road and everywhere and couldn't get in. And he just worked his way in, finally got in to where she was at. And he told her, said, all these people parked. Said, I've never seen such a crowd. Said, where in the world did they come from? She said, these people I've been talking to all these years on the phone about the Lord. And she couldn't walk. She couldn't do nothing. Just lay there. They had to feed her and everything. Just prop that phone up there. And she'd witnessed to him about the Lord. She had a burden. Now, a lot of us people, you know, we'll walk around, good legs, good feet, good arms, good body. We can't find nobody to talk to. Well, hem somebody up, don't you think so? Hem somebody up, talk to them about the Lord. And that'd be a blessing. What'd be looking, Christian? Look to yourself. Look on the fields. Look for the Savior. That's what we're supposed to do, ain't it? Grace of God, bring salvation, appear to all men. Teach us to deny ungodliness and worldliness. We should live soberly, right in God's present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Are you looking for Him to come? Yeah. I'm expecting Him to come soon, aren't you? Yeah. Oh, the Bible said in Philippians 3 and verse 20, talking about the Lord's coming there, He said we're looking for Him to come, waiting on Him to come. He's going to change our vile bodies, fashion them like on His glorious body. We look for Him, looking unto Jesus, the finisher of faith. Our life is here with Christ in God. Set your affection on things above. We're looking for Jesus to come. That's what we're rejoicing about. Rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. We're saved inside. When He comes again, He's going to save us outside. If you think we'll make a lot of noise now, just when we get saved outside, we're really going to have a shouting time then. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? See, I'm not saved all over right now, just part saved. I'm saved inside, not saved outside. Now, He's a saving on me. He hasn't got me all the way saved yet. When He comes again, I get a new body, be all the way saved. But he's right, ain't he? Your body right now, your body's got blood poison. No telling what disease you might take while you're here in this world. No telling what might happen to us because life of flesh is in the blood and the blood's messed up. And this body's under the curse. Oh man, our man's person day by day. Our man's renewed day by day. That's why we're rejoicing in hope, because we're going to get a new body that'll never hurt anymore, never die anymore. I say, praise his name. I'm not ashamed to hold up my hands and say, praise God, he's going to finish what he started in us when he comes again. Whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile bodies. They won't be fashioned like in his glorious body. I'm waiting on that right now, ain't you? I say, praise God. Praise God. Bless you. When I feel sorry for some of you, you don't have that hope. And some of you, if you do have it, the fire is burning mighty low. How long has it been since you rejoiced in hope? How long has it been since you made a little noise because you're going to get a new body? Well, I got some news for you. I'm needing a new one. And from the looks of some of y'all, you're needing a new one. We're all needing a new one. Ain't we need a new body?
Yeah.
Praise God. And it's going to be a real body. Can I talk about that just a minute? A real body. Not something just floating around. A body of flesh and bone. Glorified flesh and bone.
Yeah.
Jesus was able to eat in a glorified body with the apostles. He's able to be right there with them. There's in flesh the bodies. He's in a glorified body. A lot of people said, well, how do you think the glorified church is going to be in a millennial kingdom with folks in natural bodies? I said, Jesus is with folks in natural bodies, and he's in a glorified body. Sure, that's going to happen. Praise God. If I was able, I'd run up and down the aisle. Praise God. I can't run no more, but I feel like trying it sometimes. Praise God. I'm glad the joy unspeakable and full of glory is down inside. You can have that joy. You can have that victory. You don't have to go along just struggling along. The most important thing in all of your life, you get right with God and live for him. That's the most important thing. I'm not against you having a good career, and I'm not against you having a good trade and a good education and a good job. First of all, be sure you're right with God. Be sure you're a child of God, and all these other things will be added to you. You can enjoy. You can enjoy the blessings of God. How many folks are saved? Let's see your hand.
Shall sleep, but not forever. From the dust we shall arise, clad in robes of fadeless beauty. We'll meet Jesus in the skies. We shall sleep, but not forever. Glorious.